It was officially upset Saturday in the SEC. Georgia went down at Vanderbilt, LSU down at Ole Miss, South Carolina down at Tennessee, and Texas A&M was upended by Auburn in College Station. A truly unbelievable Saturday of football if you're an SEC fan or just a college football fan. Florida State and Clemson was slated to be the game of the century in the ACC, and it did not turn out that way at all. Florida State dominated the game both offensively and defensively, vaulting them into the national championship discussion. They sit number two in the BCS, and Jameis Winston is now right in the middle of any and all Heisman talk. So we have a lot to discuss today, and I'll bring in David Sears out the top of the program. And let's start, Sears, what happened in College Station. I think that's appropriate. Auburn pulled off the upset 45-41 over number seven Texas A&M. This was Gus Malzahn's biggest win yet. Nick Marshall was unconscious, 11-for-23 for 236 yards and two touchdowns throwing. He also had 20 carries for 100 yards and two touchdowns running the football. But Johnny Manziel wasn't bad either. He was 28-of-38 for 454 yards with four touchdowns. That was throwing. He also had a rushing touchdown. That was after he had been knocked out of the game with a shoulder injury. Talk about this epic contest and what it means for Auburn.
This is a huge turning point for Auburn. In just 1 year, the Auburn Tigers look to be a threat to win the SEC and potentially the national title race if they can win out.
If they win out, they've
got a legitimate shot at being a national title contender.
And they still have
a couple of difficult games left, though. But I think finishing with 9 or 10 wins is a realistic goal in the regular season for the Auburn Tigers.
I think you're right. But look at where it was a year ago, Sears. We had a 3-9 and just a disastrous season by Gene Chizik and company down there. They had no defense and no offense. They could do nothing. And now, like you said, technically they're competing for the national championship, but they're very much in the race for the SEC West.
Very much. And they look much improved on defense. Their offense looks light years ahead of where they were last year. Nick Marshall has done a great job. He still has some throwing issues to work out. But, yeah. I mean, as long as they can continue the running game to be that dominant like they were, I think, was it almost 400 yards rushing against Texas A&M. So, I mean, they have a lot of stuff that they can do that have improved on greatly. So I really think they're going in the right direction. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And I think your early Coach of the Year candidate for the SEC is going to be Gus Malzahn.
Well,
Gary Finkel has a good say.
Yes.
Just to see how badly the Auburn Tigers played last year compared to this year.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tight race between Finkel and Malzahn.
And I think Butch Jones is there too. I don't think he will win it, but I think he ought to be considered as well with what he's done with Tennessee. They now have a winning record. We'll get to them in a few minutes. But you're right, and I think Auburn did what they had to do to win the game. It was really quite an impressive performance offensively by Gus Malzahn's crew. They held the ball. They did not hurry up too much in spots where they needed to be deliberate, especially the final drive when they got the ball with about 5 minutes to go, and they were able to methodically work their way down the field. They still left some time on the clock for Johnny Manziel, but it wasn't enough, and the defense was able to step up and get a stop. And let's talk about Manziel for just a second. Where do you think he is now in terms of the Heisman? We know what he's done. He's putting up better numbers this year than he did last year. He had the injury. He gutted it out, and he came in and played. To me, his performance was incredible despite the loss, but I don't think nationally he'll get the respect for it.
I don't think they will be able to do anything long-term for his Heisman chances. There's so much love for Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota right now, especially with Jameis Winston having two big national spotlight games with the Pitt game Labor Day night and then what he did to Clemson. So I think Jameis Winston's probably going to get much of the love that Johnny Football got last year. His numbers may be better, but Jameis Winston's just the flavor of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at what happened to Tebow, Tebow actually had better numbers the 2008 than he did in 2007, but they gave it to Sam Bradford. So I think Johnny Football has definitely shown that he's going to be a dominant player. He's definitely going to be able to make the next step and go to the NFL. But I think that the love of Johnny Football as a Heisman favorite it died with his chances to take A&M to a national title.
Tennessee, 23-21, was able to get the final field goal there by Pilardi with as the time expired in Knoxville and get a big win, finally, as they came so close against Georgia and weren't able to get it done. And now they finally get that win, and Butch Jones' team is now 4-3. They head into a third Saturday October matchup against the Crimson Tide, except it's on the fourth Saturday in October this weekend. And they don't have much of a shot in the game, obviously, but this Tennessee team is turning a corner, are they not?
Tennessee is getting better. Butch Jones said today that Tennessee is building to what Alabama is now. That's a pretty lofty statement. That big win over South Carolina helps, but they've got a long way to go. That SEC East is very even-keeled right now. If they're able to go into Columbia in 2 weeks or next week and beat Missouri on national television, that would be another big thing. It's one thing to win a big game at home. The next step is to win a big game on the road, and Tennessee is going to have to show they can win a game on the road. If they play well this weekend, they may be able to upset Alabama. But the big difference is this is a road game.
Yeah.
Tennessee has not really played well on the road this year. I mean, their big game prior to this was Georgia, which was at home in a friendly crowd. So they're going to have to be able to eventually win on the road, and until they do that, I'm not really going to take them seriously, but I definitely think they're going to be able to be a bowl team for the SEC.
I think they could very easily get to that 6-win mark, and I think you're right. This weekend, not a good chance of winning at Alabama, especially when you've seen what the Tide has been doing to inferior competition the last couple of weeks. However, if Tennessee could keep it close, and I mean closer than Alabama's games have been the last couple of weeks, 17, 14 points maybe, final score, I think that would be a huge confidence builder for Tennessee going forward, and I think they would close strong. Missouri, 36-17 over Florida. They are now 7-0, 3-0 in the SEC East, and number 5 in the BCS standings. What about this Missouri Tiger squad?
This Missouri Tiger squad is very impressive. I thought they would struggle but win this week with Matty Malk backing up James Franklin. But, man, they managed to just do everything they needed to. They led from the get-go, two plays for them to score on their opening drive and led from the opening kickoff. So Missouri looks to be a legitimate threat.
Yeah, I think so, too.
They have a pretty decent offense with Matty Malk, not as good as James Franklin, but if James Franklin can stay healthy and come back in time for the SEC championship, then I really like Missouri's chances. I mean, when you look at what they have left on their schedule, if they can get by this South Carolina squad this Saturday night, then you really have to like their odds of going all the way to Atlanta.
That's a good point. You look at Missouri's schedule, they still obviously have South Carolina at home, they have Tennessee at home, they have at Ole Miss second to last week of the season, and they have Texas A&M in the final week of the season. So definitely some bumps in the road still they have to travel over, but Missouri is looking good right now. Georgia with another loss, and it just continues to get worse and worse for the Bulldogs. 31-27 in Nashville to Vanderbilt. Georgia's pretty much done for the East. They don't really have much of a shot now that they lost to Missouri. They don't even have the head-to-head there. So where is this Georgia team right now, and are they headed for a real big collapse this year?
It looks that way. Rick tried his best to keep the team motivated. Then they suffered that tough loss to Clemson to open the season. They looked really good. They rallied the troops against LSU. Then they were able to get everything together. And when everything looked lost against Tennessee, Aaron Murray put that team on his back, and they were able to win 34-31 in overtime. And then last week they just had that troublesome game against Missouri. Then going up to Vanderbilt, they lose. They still have at least two losable games left on the schedule with Florida and Auburn. And Georgia Tech has recently gotten together their offense, and they're looking to be a pretty decent team. They're 4-3 right now after having a rough patch of playing three good teams, Virginia Tech, Miami, and BYU. Georgia Tech really only looks to have one troublesome team left with Clemson. But after that, I mean, Georgia Tech could easily be 7-4 rolling into Georgia. That game is at home in Atlanta. So we've seen crazy things happen to that rivalry. And if Georgia ends up finishing with 4 or 5 losses, the talk of Mark Richt being on the hot seat will definitely intensify, especially if you lose to Auburn and Georgia Tech and Florida in the same year.
And the final upset of the Saturday is Alabama won 52-0 over Arkansas. No problem there. But the final upset was Ole Miss 27-24. The last second field goal. They got number 6 LSU. And this LSU team, we all talked about the defense, the lack of defense early in the year, and we thought it could improve, but it just didn't. And Zach Mettenberger throwing 4 interceptions, 3 in the first half, didn't help matters either.
Zach Mettenberger had been talked about all the progress he had made. Look at how great this offense has been. And then the past 2 weeks, they've struggled mightily to put up points. Florida has a really good defense, but Ole Miss's defense is not as good as Florida's defense, in my opinion. And when you look at the fact that Ole Miss was able to control the line of scrimmage, put pressure on Mettenberger. Mettenberger threw those interceptions. Alabama has to be looking at that down the road. If we can do this to Zach Mettenberger too, we can definitely be able to beat LSU. I'm not looking past Tennessee for Alabama, but I think that Alabama has to feel very confident looking at the remainder of their schedule. Now, that Auburn game got a lot more difficult than they expected. That game's going to have a lot of hype, possibly the first Iron Bowl since 94 that actually mattered for the SEC West. So I think that we'll see a lot of hype for that if both teams continue to win as they progress the rest of the season. So I'm looking forward to it, but I think LSU right now, to say that the only thing you can do is play spoiler and hope for a BCS berth as a at-large is definitely a disappointment to a team that had such high hopes coming into this year.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Other scores from the top 25 this weekend, and we'll get to some of the unbeatens that fell, and I'll get Sears' take on the top of the BCS standings after I read these. But the Texas Tech, they keep on winning. They're undefeated, 37-27 over West Virginia. Minnesota, 20-17 over Northwestern. Oklahoma State, 24-10 over TCU. Northern Illinois continues chugging along nicely. They are 38-17 winners over Central Michigan. Michigan, 63-47 over Indiana. Ohio State struggled early with Iowa, but was able to get the win in the end, 34-24. Oklahoma, 34-19 over Kansas. Stanford, 24-10 over UCLA. That's an unbeaten that fell. Arizona State, 53-24 over Washington. Baylor blasted Iowa State, 71-7. They continue to maul teams. Florida State, of course, as we mentioned, 51-14 over Clemson. Oregon struggled probably their most of the season, 62-38 win over Washington State. Fresno State, 38-14 over UNLV. And Friday night, Central Florida took down Louisville, 38-35, ending pretty much any speculation that Louisville will be in the championship discussion. And Teddy Bridgewater is pretty much done with his Heisman chances at this point, too. So now, Sears, I ask you the question about the BCS. You saw the BCS standings last night. Alabama, number 1. Florida State, number 2. Oregon 3, Ohio State 4, Missouri 5. If everybody wins out, the people who know the BCS seem to think that Oregon will eventually jump Florida State and Alabama and Oregon control their own destinies. My question to you is, should they? Who should play for the national championship if everybody wins out?
If everyone wins out, I really think the winner of the SEC should go up against the winner of Pac-12. I think the Pac-12, don't count out Stanford. Stanford, I know, has one loss, but if they can win out and be able to win the Pac-12 title, I think they would get in over FSU just due to the difficulty of their schedule.
Wow, so you're saying Stanford, a one-loss Stanford over an undefeated Florida State?
I think so, because wow. I think they have more appeal to the voters just because they're able to do a lot of things that you don't really see in the ability of Florida State. Florida State has a great football team, and they're a very active defense and a very powerful offense. But I'm just saying, when you're not used to winning, when you're not used to getting up for everything, you're going to have one game, you're going to slip up. They still have a very difficult schedule left against the Miami team that I think is rapidly improving. They play that November 2nd. I can guarantee you that game's going to be a very fun game to watch. It's really difficult. I know a lot of people will circle this NC State game as a revenge game, as NC State last year cost them. But you look at the remaining of their schedule, they still have a couple of tricky road trips left at Wake Forest and at Florida. Florida, they may have an offense that maybe only scores 20 points, but I think that Florida defense will be the best defense that Jameis Winston's seen all year. Plus, they still have to play an ACC championship game which could possibly be either a rematch with Miami or playing Virginia Tech. So look out for what's coming down the line with FSU. I don't see them winning out. I think they'll probably drop either Miami, Florida, or Miami or Virginia Tech in the ACC title game.
So David Sears thinks if Stanford can win out, and is Stanford a one-loss team, and I have great respect for Stanford, I picked them preseason to be in the championship game, that they could, or they should, excuse me, should jump Florida State. And that's an interesting argument. I have not heard that one, but it could, well, I don't think it's going to happen.
I can guarantee you this, though. If there is an undefeated Alabama and an undefeated Ohio State, and either a one-loss Oregon, FSU, or Stanford, that one-loss team will jump Ohio State, because Ohio State schedule this year is absolutely abysmal. It's a joke. Unless Michigan doesn't lose another game this year, they're probably not going to play another ranked opponent. So I think the team that has the most to lose by winning, or the most to lose, is Ohio State, because they could have won 25 straight games, but they would not be playing for the national title, mainly because their schedule this year is so bad, and they can get on the SEC while you play FCS schools. Yeah, you have a chance to schedule better, higher quality opponents that were not FAMU, that were not Cal, that were not Buffalo. So I think this is it's a case of Ohio State scheduling themselves into oblivion.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think if LSU had remained a one-loss team and they won out, I think LSU would have had a distinct possibility to jump the Buckeyes. And I know there's going to be a lot of upset voices in Columbus, and I understand that because Ohio State's a proud program with a lot of supporters, but you're just not playing anybody. Look at Oregon's schedule. They have every single team remaining has a winning record on that schedule. Ohio State is almost the exact opposite. Ohio State is playing a bunch of teams like Iowa, and nobody really cares. Ohio State struggled with Iowa. So what? Ohio State gets no bump whatsoever. I don't care if it's a Big Ten rivalry game. Nobody cares. Ohio State struggled with Iowa, and it's not going to help them at all.
It did not. And when you play a team like an Iowa, you're supposed to do what Alabama and Oregon have done. They just go out and dominate for the entire game, not even leave the finish up in doubt. That game was in doubt until Ohio State scored that late touchdown to go up by 10. So, I mean, you look at Ohio State, they've struggled, and they have two tough road games left, and at Purdue and at Michigan. But Purdue is just one of those teams that's been very bipolar with their play this year. So Purdue could upset them, but then again, Purdue could play their usual brand of we're really horrible and give up a lot of points to Ohio State. So their one lone remaining challenge outside of this week is Michigan.
Yep.
And Michigan has shown that they can turn the ball over with the best of them. And as good as Devin Gardner is, he can also be that bad. So we'll see what happens.
Really weak schedule. Well, we're out of time for this show. We'll be back soon to talk about more college football news. But Sears, again, thanks. What a weekend in the SEC and college football.
It was absolutely amazing, and I know we got to take a break for a couple of weeks, but I can't wait to get back to talk. We're getting ready for that big week of football on November 9th.
It's going to be big. For Jacob Budd and David Sears, we will see you soon. Take care.